Father, as always, I thank you. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And then we ask that that light will shine into our hearts and our minds and our spirits, giving us revelation knowledge into what the Spirit is saying unto the churches at this time. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Hold on a second. I've got to shut this noise off here. All right, apologies for the noise. He's just cleaning up his tools here, and he'll be out of here in just a couple minutes. You know, so we've been talking about walking with God. And according to Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, two cannot walk together. It was a question, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, so the two principles in this case on this subject of walking with God, the two principles are God and you and me. In my case, it's God and me. In your case, it's God and you. Now, so this journey of walking with God, you know, people do say that, you know, a journey of 1,000 steps or miles begins with a single step. Well, this journey is actually a lifetime journey. You know, until we get there, we're not there yet. And we keep walking. We keep walking side by side with God, you know, put our foot in his footsteps and keep our eyes on him and walk with him all the way. The whole time learning and gleaning and becoming more and more like him. We talked about, you know, in order for us to really be considered as walking with God, we got to align with him. Because two can't walk together except they be agreed. Now, we are the ones that will agree with him, not the other way around. Now, he says, and we do. That's what Jesus said. Any man keep my commandment, he it is that loves me. And if a man loves me, then I will love him. My Father and I will come and make our abode with him, and I will manifest myself unto him, and so on. So it is important for us to understand this journey. Now, your journey is unique to you. It's differentiated. It's a differentiated, unique journey. Just as much as everyone's fingerprints are unique. We talked about Holy Spirit coding, your, if you want to call it, your flight path into those fingerprints. And he's the only one that can decode it. Palm readers and stuff like that, they try to figure it out, but they can't. Not for you, at least. Unless you go and submit themselves to you, then a peeping and muttering spirit will take over. And unbelievers may do that. The children of God should never do that. According to John chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus said, as the wind bloweth and passeth, and nobody knows where it's going or coming from until it's gone, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. So, you know, your life, nobody can really discern it. You're gone, you're moving, the Holy Spirit is directing you. Nobody can figure it out. However, we, as you are on that journey, you know, we need to focus on the journey. Just like Enoch, he focused. He knew what he wanted. He went for it. And gradually, it did take him 300 years. It was a lifetime. He started walk with God when he was 65. Took him 300 more years. Finally, he figured it out. He was changed into light, and he was gone. Now, we, by the same Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18, we're also being changed from glory to glory. So we talk about walking in the Spirit. We talk about communing with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, and learning from the Spirit, you know. I mean, just being led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We can read all of that in Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through about 14. Thereafter, we talked about walking in faith. Walking in faith. Faith is a, faith is a subject matter that is so critical throughout the Bible, to the point where we are told that no one can please the Lord except by faith. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And if we can't please the Lord, then we can't walk with him. So faith is just so critical. We covered that yesterday. How do we walk in faith and so on? We covered that yesterday, how to use our faith and how if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. And how if we use it, we'll, you know, exercise it well. If you exercise it well, you get, your faith actually grows, you know, and so on and so forth. So today's lesson, you know, is on walking in love. That's the part that we want to talk about today. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, he's just walking out of my door, the walkman is, so I had to let him out. Okay, I am fully back, you got my full attention. Walking in love is what we want to cover today. The so-called apostle of love, that would be John, he talks about love quite a bit. And we're going to look at some of the things that he said in the first epistle of John. You know, the first chapter, he talks about, you know, God being light and all of that. It, you know, it goes on in the second chapter, talk about a few other things, you know, how we should make sure that we walk in a life of righteousness and so on. And trusting the Holy Spirit for the anointing to teach. He goes on in chapters 3 and 4, talk about love and so forth. So we're going to talk about that right now. God is love. God is love. Not just that God loves us, but God is actually love. So if God is love, then walking in love means walking in God and walking with God. You know, so let's consider this topic briefly and why, you know, love is so important, because God is love. We'll find many verses that tell us things like that, but we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. There are a few verses that I'm going to have us read out of 1 John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 4, you know, but let's take a quick look at, you know, the book of 1 John. My internet is a bit slow coming up. You know, let's take a quick look at 1 John chapter 4 and, you know, let's take a look at verse 8. He says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, so God is love. If we don't know how to love, then that means we don't know God very much. And, you know, he says the love of God was manifested to us because he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. We can't live any other way. And, you know, he goes on to explain love. I mean, he does a beautiful job explaining, you know, I know 1 Corinthians 13, Paul also talks about love in a different kind of way, the various attributes of love. You know, he talks about, you know, how that though we may exercise all the gifts and so forth, and we don't have love, then really doesn't profit us too much. But this man, John, he's the one that really brings it out. We're going to look at some of the things that he says. You know, here he says that, look, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's verse 7 of 1 John, chapter 4. And he says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is loved. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, he said, well, if God so loved us, so ought we also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then that's the proof that God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, you know, and so on. And herein is our love also made perfect, he said, we have that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, you know, and so on. And he that feareth, you know, is not made perfect in love. Well, we love him because he first loved us. Now, verse 20. If a man should say, I love God, and hates his brother, well, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And that's a question. And this is the commandment we have from him. If you say you love God, then love your brother also. As a matter of fact, if you love your brother, then we know you love God. You know, so, and, you know, one man came to Jesus one time and said, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind, all thy strength, etc. And he said, well, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus actually compounded all the other commandments into that one statement. And said, well, in this one statement of love your neighbor as yourself is everything perfected. All the commandments are rolled into that, you know. And so we see that Jesus talked a bit, quite a bit about it. But at the end also he gave his command, his disciples, you know, a new commandment, but not exactly a new commandment, you know, but, you know, we already had it, but it was like a new commandment. John 13 and 34, he said, look, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I loved you. So must you love one another. Well, let's take a look at that statement for a minute. You know, this one isn't exactly saying, love your neighbor as yourself. This one is saying, love as I love you. You know, so, you know, that's a different, higher kind of love, actually. You know, it appears that Jesus himself actually loved us more than himself. Because he said, greater love has no man than this. That a man should lay down his life for his friend. I mean, if you lay down your life for your friend, you know, if you prefer your friend's life over yours, it's almost like you love their life more than yours. And Jesus said, look, as I have loved you, you know, so should ye also love one another. Now, many scriptures bear out this fact about us loving one another. Now, although it is prevalent throughout these scriptures, these fundamental things are things that people look narrowly upon. They're not mysteries. They're not deep, people think. I mean, they're not some crazy, I mean, faith stuff. I mean, it's love your brother, love your sister. And then so sometimes we forget the simple principles upon which the entire foundation of Christianity is based. And then we, you know, so if we do that, well, that's not a good thing. John 15 and 13 tells you, greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. I mean, if the Lord laid down his life for us, well, scripture says that, you know, we ought to also be able to lay down, you know, our lives for the brethren. Now, what does it mean to lay down your life? Lay down your life, you know, one scripture says, you know, honor preferring one another. Laying down our life basically means, and people, some people actually do it, you know, without realizing that they do it. They, you know, when they go out of their way, bend over backwards, as some people say, you know, that take on a lot of inconvenience and so forth. You know, some people, we talked about this in the room yesterday, some testimony about people having to, you know, endure the inconvenience of their space, you know, and people come to live with them and so forth. Sometimes when you bend over backwards, you lay down your life, you give up your own convenience and your own comfort, and, you know, to secure someone else's well-being, that's laying down your life. It doesn't mean that you have to be killed, you know, not have to do it. But, you know, it's kind of like Jesus said, look, except you deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. So denying yourself is basically, look, you're not looking after, well, this thing is going to be hurtful, this thing is going to be painful, I can't do it, it doesn't, it's not convenient, you know, so that's it. You know, so we do this, many people do this sometimes without realizing it, that they're actually laying down their lives for others when you go out of your way to serve people at your own inconvenience. You know, I mean, despite the fact that it's inconvenient for you, at your own peril, I mean, some people put their own schedule aside sometimes just to help someone else and take care of somebody else, or they call, you know, do you do this and you do that for them and so forth. Yeah, that's a form of laying down your life. And this is important, that we learn to walk in that posture all the time. Not just once a month or once a year or once in a lifetime, you know, but that ought to be our pattern. Now, there's another aspect that I'm going to talk about, which was prevalent in the early church. We don't see too much of it anymore these days, but it's guaranteed to return, because it's the pattern, it's the Bible pattern. You know, in the first couple chapters of the book of Acts, we're told that the disciples had all things in common. You know, and he that had much sold and brought it, and they distributed to the necessity of the saints. You know, and so on and so forth. And we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira there, that, you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't happy that they lied. You know, they didn't have to lie. They didn't have to sell anything, but they lied that they sold it for lesser price than they actually did. They hid back part of the sum, and they pretended. And when Peter asked them, they still lied. And so, you know, Holy Spirit wasn't happy about that. I was grieved about that, and there was judgment, quick judgment. You know, however, you know, let's not taint that story by, I mean, taint the whole thing by just that one story. For the most part, they sold what they had. They brought it, they laid down at the apostles' feet. They shared and distributed to the saints as they needed. And nobody said, this was mine and that's not yours and so forth. I mean, it was really good. You know, I mean, that's really walking in love. I mean, if you consider that today, what it means is that, look, let a brother of low degree or a sister of low degree not be discouraged. That's really what it means. It means that, look, in the community and in the kingdom of God, when we're walking in love and where we understand this concept, you know, a brother of low degree or a sister of low degree, their children can still go to the very good schools that they cannot afford. You know, how are they going to be able to do that? Well, because some others that can afford a little extra are going to help out. You know, and, you know, their children don't have to suffer because they can't afford it. You know, I'm going to digress a little bit here and talk about, you know, the blessings of God, because it's all part of this walking with love. The reason that God blesses us with more than we need, you know, is for this reason that I'm talking about here. You know, I mean, why would, I mean, God doesn't necessarily have to give you over an abundance for what you need. I mean, he only needs to give you what you need. But many times he not only gives us what we need, he gives us a whole lot more than what we need. Well, because, you know, we must learn how to help others. And there's always going to be the poor in the church, no matter how much we preach or people preach prosperity and all this stuff. That's not going to happen, that everybody's going to be at the same level. In fact, Paul gave commandments, you know, to the Corinthians church. He said, look, you know, don't be collecting for the saints when I come. You know, gather all this information before I come. I mean, gather all the take, you know, and so forth, you know, so that we can distribute to the necessity of the saints. There's always going to be, I mean, they did this. They had a practice, you know, gather money and send to the poor saints in Jerusalem or here and there. You know, they had a practice of doing that. They walked in love. I mean, and the scripture says when talking about the body ministry in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, when any part of the body is hurting or hurts, you know, the whole body really hurts. You know, so you can't say, well, it's really the hand that's hurting, you know, and the foot says, well, I'm all good. It's only the hand that hurts, you know, or the head says, well, it's only the foot that hurts. You know, I'm all good. Well, that doesn't work. And everybody knows that. Your little pinky finger, whatever they call it, the smallest, even the little finger that, you know, if you have an infection in that finger, it can take you out if it's not treated soon enough, you know, and some of those infections can get really bad. You know, and it can, and even though it's just a small piece of the body, it can take the whole thing out. You know, so the whole body cares and nourishes itself. And that's walking in love. I mean, and James also talks about it, the practical aspects, which, you know, we alluded to some maybe yesterday or the other day. You can't say, you know, when a brother comes and they're hungry and they ask you for help, you can't say, well, be filled by faith. You know, that was James talking about faith versus works. You know, so walking in love also means, you know, we take that extra step, you know, and take care of the person in need. You can't say, go and come again. This, the scripture says, you know, when you have it by you, what's the point? You know, and don't send them away empty when you can help them. All these things, you know, are walking in love. Now, let's consider some of the other things. I mean, John actually goes into some really serious stuff. You know, when he's talking about, look, if you don't, he goes beyond just saying you don't love your brother. He say you hate, you know, hate is a strong word. You know, so let's talk about that for a bit. And, you know, here's how John puts it, that look, if you hate your brother, you know, John basically says, look, anybody that hates their brother or their sister is a murderer. And he says, look, you know that no murderer has eternal life in them. My goodness. Well, let's read some of it. Now, this is a message that we heard from the beginning. 1 John, you know, chapter 3 and verse 11, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Well, because his own works were evil and his brother's was righteous. So, you know, he was envious because God accepted Abel's sacrifice. By revelation, Abel brought blood, a blood sacrifice. I don't know who taught it to him, but he did. Now, Cain, well, he brought a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground which God already cursed. And God did have no respect unto his sacrifice, whereas God accepted Abel's. So he got furious. Well, how did he learn, you know, how to kill? That's another subject. But it was of that wicked one. Anyway, we're told that we should not, you know, follow in those steps. Now, he says, you know, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, that's a serious, you know, so we're going to get into some of these serious concepts that Apostle John is going to bring out here. I remember many years ago, I was a young man, maybe early 20s, and some of my friends who were all believing God together and so forth. After many years, one of them who was so close asked me, well, what's your secret of consistency in the Lord and so on? And I said, well, two things. I love the Lord and I love the brethren. You know, that's it. You know, you got to love the brethren. You just got to love the brethren. You know, you know, that's it. You got to love the brethren. You got to want to do for your brethren whatever it's going to take, you know, for the love of Christ. And so, but John has a serious perspective here, the way he brings it out. So let's continue reading. And he says, if you love not your brother, you know, then you are still in death. You know, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, if you are in death, how can you be in life and in death at the same time? That can't happen. You are either in light and life, or you are in darkness and in death. You know, the two sides of the spectrum. I covered that the other day. You know, so, but, you know, and he says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, it may not be brother, it may be sister that you hate. You know, this is the Holy Spirit calling it out. This is serious, it's a serious subject. If you hate, you know, your brother or your sister, another child of God, then scripture says, you are a murderer. And he says, well, you know that no murderer hath eternal life living in them. Wow. Now, so this is one area that's going to may shock a lot of people. Because on that day on which we must each one of us give account before the Lord, you know, the Lord might say such things as, well, when I was on earth, you hated me. And you say, Lord, when did I see you and I hated you? You know, I love the Lord with all my heart, you know, and all my soul and so forth. You know, I've always loved the Lord from a child and up. And the Lord will say, well, inasmuch as you hated that your brother and that your sister, and he'll reveal it and open the books. And the books will be wide open and you'll see it. Nobody will be able to deny it. And then he'll say, well, inasmuch as you did not forgive them, you hated them and all these things, you did it to me. And then people will begin to have weeping and gnashing of teeth because it'll be too late. They're caught red-handed. It's wide open. You can't deny it. And, you know, a lot of people surprised a lot of things. You know, you can read some similar stories in Matthew chapter 25. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, you'll do this and that, separate the nations, the goats on this side, left, you know, the goats on the left, the sheep on the right, and they say to this on the right, you righteous, you know, enter into the joy of the Lord because you treated me well. And they would say, well, we never saw you. How did we treat you well? I said, well, you did it to one of these, so you did to me. Well, enter thou into joy of the Lord. And to the others, he'll say, well, you treated me very badly. You know, and so forth. He narrated all the instances when they had a chance to do some good to somebody and they didn't do it. And Jesus said, because you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. You know, so now on the subject of love, it's the same thing. And hating your brother, it's the same thing. If you hate your brother and you do not opt from your heart, absolutely 100% forgive them of everything. Jesus might very well just say, well, you hated your brother, so you hated me. You know, and then where are we going to begin to be? I mean, we've served the Lord all our lives. We've been praying and talking about rapture and everything all our lives. And then we're going to miss it because we hate our brother or hate our sister. So let's examine ourselves today, whether we are walking in love. You know, so this is very important. So these are very serious, serious subjects. He also goes down and says, look, this is the love of God. This is how we understand and know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I tell you, I have seen people that have done this. I mean, there are some people, some brethren that have done, I mean, they will I mean, they go beyond the call of duty. They will do whatever it takes, to help somebody else. They'll give of themselves. They give of their goods. They give of their time. They give of whatever, just to help others. And so they're demonstrating the example that we're talking about here. Others, not so much. And some people don't care. There are some people that only care about their husband and their children. Ladies and gentlemen, let me call that out today. And some people, that's all. They care about their husband, care about their wife, care about their children. That's it. They don't care about anybody else. let's examine this and be real careful. Because people pray. They'll pray for their spouse. They'll pray for their children. And that's it. They don't care about anybody else. Well, that's not good enough. Because we must love the brethren. Brethren is not just your spouse or your children. Let's take stock here. And Proverbs 3 and verse 27, it talks about, a principle, that is important. When we have the opportunity to do good, it says, look, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Don't say to your brother, come and, go and come again when you already have it. Why make them, go up and down? You already have it by you. Why don't you just give it to them? Well, some people don't know how to do that. And they have the opportunity to do so. Maybe the love of God is not perfected in them. Now, there are others also who try to take advantage of those who are open-handed. The liberal soul, the Bible says in Proverbs 11 and 25, the last part, it says the liberal soul will be blessed. He that watereth again, shall also be watered. He that watereth will also be watered again. But some people are tight-fisted, they won't help. Now, other people try to take advantage of others. And there's time for everything. There's a time to say yes, there's a time to say no. And I taught that when I did the wisdom series. Just because we're talking of the love, let me digress a little bit and balance this out. Just because we're talking of love your brother doesn't mean you have to do everything foolishly. We're talking about laying down your life, sacrificing even to your own disadvantage sometimes. But when I'm not never talking about spiritual disadvantage, ladies and gentlemen, I'm never talking about that. I'm talking about physical disadvantage. If you have to suffer pain and hurt to accommodate somebody in your house, if you have to give up some of your food in order for them to have some, and so on. Those are the things we're talking about. Never giving up your spiritual posture to help somebody else. Never. That doesn't work. We see the story in the Matthew chapter 25 of the 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins, which we taught when we did our wisdom series and in prudence and sound judgment. The wise virgins, they knew how to say no. And the foolish virgins came along and said, give us some of your oil because ours have run out. They said, no, go buy for yourself. Now, in today's world, we would classify those wise virgins because of that no that they said at that time as not having love. That's how we would say it in today's church system. We say they don't have any love. Because you said no when your brother asked you something. So I'm trying to balance this. They said no. It wasn't oil. It was a spiritual thing. They were not going to let somebody else's unpreparedness, lack of concern about the things of God, weigh them down and cause them to miss the mark. So don't let anybody do that to you. So don't miss the boat because of somebody else. Now, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about physical things. You can share, you can suffer a little loss, physically, materially, and so on for somebody else so that they can have a little gain. But never spiritually. Never. Don't let any, if somebody is going to drag you down, well, let them be. You move on. Enoch wouldn't let anybody bother him. Everybody else said, we're waiting around to die. Well, he said, we'll see about that. And he figured out a way to not die and be translated. He had sons and daughters. He wasn't going to let his sons, any daughters or wife or anybody, keep him from his pursuit of something that triggered in his heart that he wanted. You know, so don't let any foolish virgins steal your oil. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 11, let no man take your crown. You know, be very careful. You know, so let's not misunderstand this love thing to say, you know, I mean, I love the brethren. I'll do anything for the brethren as well, much as I can do. But if you're going to mess with my spiritual posture, that's it. I'm going to cut you loose. You know, so an anchor, you know, can be good sometimes, but an anchor can also hold you from setting sail. You know, so there are times when you got to cut some things loose. You know, there's some things, some people that are just dead weight. They won't go and they won't let you go. Cut them loose. We're not talking about that stuff. But when it comes to physical things, give them a little love here and there. You know, share some meals, share some clothing, share your space, this and that, you know, so that they can get help, get warmth, get food, and all that. You know, we can do that and we should do that. But never sell out on your spiritual posture for anybody who is not ready to go. If they want to, they don't want to go, cut them loose and keep on going. You know, so there are many stories in the Bible that will balance that out. So we want to make sure that this love thing that we're talking about today, people don't misconstrue it, you know, and think you have to say yes every time, no matter what somebody asks, just because we are talking about love. You know, so I'm drawing, you know, the boundaries here. You know, you have to use sound judgment. You have to use prudence. There are times when you have to say no. And the foolish virgin said no. I mean, sorry, the wise virgin said no to the foolish. Now, you know, Jesus was the one that taught that parable. And, you know, so if Jesus taught it, well, that means that there are times when we actually indeed need to say no. You know, so don't say yes all the time. Say yes when it is physical things, helping them and so forth to get ahead physically and all of that, you know, as long as it doesn't bring any detriment to your own spiritual well-being. You know, if anybody's ask is going to bring detriment to your spiritual posture, cut them loose and say no. So I want to make sure that is very clear today. So we're not, you know, just to make sure nobody misunderstands us. But, you know, giving them food, giving them shelter, giving them, you know, money or this, helping them, you know, do this and that. Yeah, absolutely. And we must do that. You know, but after you've done all of that and helped them, they don't want to get ahead. They want to, moreover, drag you down, make cause you to miss the, you know, the things of God. Then cut them loose. Cut them loose. You know, there are many instances that I can tell you in the Bible, but, you know, you get the point. So back to what we're talking about here on love. Love is so key because that's really who God is. So walking in love is, you know, walking with God, you know, and, you know, there is a, there's an old time song we used to sing with our God is love and he that loves is born of God or something like that. We used to sing it, you know. So let's consider this to love one another. You know, Paul wrote and said, look, have fervent love one toward another. And Jesus himself talked about it. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another and so on. You know, this is the thing that's going to distinguish us. But I tell you what, in the last days, of which we are very close now, brother will give up brother, sister will give up sister, you know, they'll sell out. And it's going to be sad. You know, so now it's the time for us to practice solidarity. You know, practice, you know, the unity of the spirit, the love and so forth. If we don't know how to do it now in a time of peace, how are you going to do it when Jordan overflows its banks? We read that yesterday, Jeremiah 12 and 5. You know, so now that everything is, you know, somewhat, you know, peaceful, not exactly in every part of the world, it's not peaceful in the Middle East right now, but, you know, we're not in the United States or some other parts today, we're not terribly suffering, you know, state persecution yet. It's coming underhanded. You know, there's many things. You can't do this, you can't say this, you can't pray, you can't do all that. It's kind of still underhanded. It's not, you know, overbearing immediately for now, but it's coming. When that time comes, Jesus said, well, sister will give away mother will give away this, you know, and so forth. Everybody will sell off something for a morsel of bread, you know. So, and that's why a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardness. Paul told Timothy to do that. Now, if you don't even know how to endure hardness, then you will not be able to endure during the hard times that are coming. And that's the reason why a lot of people will sell out. People who have not learned to fast, you know, then they're going to sell out very quickly when hunger becomes a thing, you know. And then I'll say, well, you know, hey, you know, all you got to do is do this and that, and we'll give you some food. Well, they'll sell out because they haven't learned, you know, they haven't learned the discipline of hardness in that area, you know, and so many things, you know, love. If you haven't learned how to have your brother's back, your sister's back, people are going to sell out. Just going to do it. And they will, because Jesus already said it'll happen. You know, but for us who understand the bond of the Spirit, Bible says endeavoring to keep, you know, the unity, you know, in the bond of peace and so on. And that's love. When we love the brethren, that's an evidence that we love God. Look, John said it also this way. You know, and before I say to you the way John said it, let me tell you also that, look, if you have a friend that you really love, right? You know, when you love them, you find out that, you know, you love their children also. So that's what, you know, that's what John was saying, that, you know, if you love the person that begat, then you love the person, you know, that is also begotten of them. You know, give me one quick second. Someone is knocking at my door. I have to dispatch them. Hold on a quick second here. All right, my apologies. Someone was knocking at my door here, and I'm the only one in the house, so I had to get rid of them. Anyway, what I was saying was that John said that, look, and the phone is about to die too, on top of all of that. John said that if you love someone, you would love their children also, right? You know, so... And if you look around and think about it, you see that that statement is actually true. You know, I mean, there are some, you know, some kids that are children of your very close friends. You may not have a real relationship with those children, but you love them because you love their parents. You know, and so that's what John was talking about. He says, look, if you love the person that begat, you will also love the people that are begotten of them. You know, so if you love God, you would also love, you know, his children. You can't say, you know, you love God and you love not his children. That's not going to work. So that's what John was saying. Now, for us to truly demonstrate the love of God, we not only love the Lord, but we also love his children. If we love his children, that shows that we love the Lord. You know, so you can read in 1 John, you know, chapter 5. Let's read verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's what I was just talking about. So if you love somebody, you love their children. If you say you love God, then you love their children. You love God's children. Now, if you truly love God and you hate his children, are you sure that you really love God? You know, that's the question we got to ask ourselves. You know, think of your best friend, or some of your really close friends that you love very dearly. You know, are you going to think narrowly of their children? You love their children naturally, even if you don't know the children very well. Just because it's your child, your very good friend, you just love them. You know, I know that's the way it is with me. You know, I know about others. I mean, some of my friends, I just love their children. I don't know their children very well, but I just love them because they are children of my friends, you know. So, and if I say, oh, that children of such and such, oh my goodness, you know, automatically, you know, you're drawn, you know, there's something in you. They know that, oh, you know, because they're a child of somebody that you love. It's the same thing with us. If we say we love God, then let's be sure that we love his children also. Now, if we do not love his children, then we are in the dark still. And if you are in the dark, John goes further to say, well, you are even a murderer. And no murderer has eternal life living in him. Now, wouldn't that be really, really tragic, you know, to find out that we lose eternal life because we hate the brethren? You know, so now walking in love, let me wrap this up because we're coming up to the top of the hour here. Walking with God in this lesson of walking in love, what it means is for us to love, not just love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, well, a new commandment. You love one another as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us? Well, he loved us even beyond his own life. He laid down his life for us. Now, there's a kind of life, there's a kind of love that goes even beyond, you know, just, you know, doing things, you know, humanitarian acts and so forth. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, look, you know, I may be the kind of person that, you know, loves to give away things and so forth. You know, maybe I'm even an activist and I don't care to die for some cause that I believe, but it's not out of love. Then it profits me nothing. He didn't say it doesn't profit anything. It might profit somebody, but it profits not me, you know. So for us to really profit in the things of God, we have to do the things that God commands. You know, Paul one time, he said, look, some people preach the gospel out of spite to add to my bonds. And so forth. He said, well, one way or another, the gospel is preached, no matter whether they have a good reason or, you know, a good motive for preaching it, or they just do it out of spite. Well, gospel is preached anyhow, but it doesn't profit them because they did not have a good heart. But yet it will profit somebody that heard the gospel. So, you know, same thing with love. You know, the things that we do may profit somebody, but if we don't do it out of love, it doesn't profit us. You know, to profit us, we must not only do the good things, but, you know, do it also out of a posture, a heart posture of love. Especially, you know, I mean, Paul said, look, as much as you have opportunity, you know, do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Why? Why especially? I mean, why just not do it to everybody? Well, he already said do it to everybody, you know, but he now says, look, you know, preferential love to your own brethren, you know, so, you know, it's important. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, you know, every time you have opportunity, do good to everybody, but especially to those of, because they are the children of your father. you know, everybody has a natural tendency, you know, to, you know, be a little bit biased towards their own family. Well, anyway, it's not every family. There's some families that try to kill each other. But, you know, for the most part, you know, people will have their, you know, their families' backs. And we should do that for your natural family is one family. Your spiritual family is yet another family. And, you know, the natural family only goes so far. I mean, they asked Jesus one time, they said, look, because they didn't believe in the resurrection anyway. So they wanted to trip Jesus up. So they came to him and said, look, this man had a wife and he died. And you know, our custom is that, you know, if the man died without having a child and the man didn't have a child, you know, his brother should take up his wife, try to raise, you know, children to his brother's name. His brother took him off, died. And so seven of them did. And they died having no child. Well, so they asked Jesus, well, in the resurrection, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? I mean, all seven or eight of them had her. And Jesus said, well, you do always err because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. You know, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God. You know, so the natural family only goes so far. Wife, husband, all of those things. You know, after this, it's not like that. You know, but your spiritual family goes on forever. Now, we should love our natural wives and children and so forth like that. You know, and carry them along and make sure no one left behind, especially fathers who are the in charge of making sure that their family gets on the boat. Make sure none of your family is left behind. It's your responsibility. Jesus said it himself. If the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, he would not have allowed his house to have been broken up. So it is the responsibility of the man to make sure his children, his wife, everybody get on the boat, and he himself too. You know, and don't be trying to get people on the boat and you miss the boat yourself. You know, get on the boat, get everybody on the boat. That's the ideal thing. Don't leave anybody behind. And none of our spouses and our children, none of them will be left behind in Jesus' name. We're all going. We're getting on this boat. Our children and their children. We're all getting on this boat because we have a family altar and we're going to lay down the law. We're going to speak to them of it when we eat. We're going to be make like frontlets. It's like we're wearing it like glasses. It'll be like frontlets in the eye, your eyes. You speak of this word at your dinner table, wherever you put it on your doorpost, whatever. You make sure they know it, because enough time passes. If we don't pass it on to each generation, enough generations may pass. They will just lose the complete knowledge of God. So we're not going to leave them behind. They're all going to come along, but we demonstrate it by loving them and bringing them along. Now for your extended family, your brethren, same thing. Love one another. See that ye love your brother fervently, every one of us, in Jesus' name. Now, let us not love in word only, but let us love in deed. Now, I love you, I love you, I love you by mouth. That's cheap. You know, if you love me, then show it to me. God demonstrated in love, his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Christ died for the ungodly. So true love invokes giving of yourself, you know, giving of your space, giving of your whatever we've talked about all day long today. You know, so true love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16. So true love will give. And you give of yourself. You give of whatever the Lord has put. The only thing you don't give is your spiritual posture in exchange for someone else who doesn't care to go anywhere. No, you not give that, you know, so don't let anyone take your crown, but you do everything you can to help everybody and to love one another. So that's our lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry I had to rush. I wanted to keep it within an hour. We are talking about walking with God. And we've been talking about walking with God, walking in the Spirit, walking in faith. And today we've been talking about walking in love. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to leave it there. I'm sure Holy Spirit, shared many things with you while I was talking. Apologies for my distractions here and there during the lesson. Very, very unusual. Doesn't happen to me in Phoenix. But yeah, in Nigeria, all kinds of things going on. But hey, it is what it is. We're making the best of it. And we're glad that we can still be here with you. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here. Again, thanks to all our moderators. And thanks to everybody in the room. Thanks for joining us today. I am going to yield my mic for reactions. God bless you all. Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the house.